Title: Ninth Circuit Rulings on Equitable Mootness in Transwest and Sunnyslope Impact Third-Party Investors. Content: The doctrine of equitable mootness provides that Chapter 11 reorganization plans will be deemed moot, and therefore not subject to appellate review, if a plan has been substantially consummated, and granting appellate relief would impair the rights of innocent third parties relying on the confirmation order. Since the development of the court-created mootness doctrine nearly a quarter century ago, courts have grappled with applying it in such a way as to strike an adequate balance between the need for finality and the need to exercise the court's jurisdiction and preserve the right to appellate review. The standard interpretation in bankruptcy was that once the debtor took definitive steps to put the Chapter 11 plan in place, i.e., substantial consummation, and the objecting creditor neglected to gain a stay of the plan confirmation order pending appeal, then any appeal was presumed to be equitably moot and therefore subject to dismissal by the appellate court. However, in the recent case of JPMCC 2007 C1 Grasslawn Lodging, LLC v. Transwest Resort Props, Incorporated, in re Transwest Resort Props, Inc., 801F.3D1161, 9th Circle 2015, a divided panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, the Ninth Circuit ruled that, despite substantial consummation of the subject plan, a creditor's appeal of a Chapter 11 plan confirmation order should not be dismissed on equitable mootness grounds. In so holding, the Ninth Circuit applied a four-part test to determine that the creditor's appeal was not equitably moot: 1. Whether the appellant sought a stay pending appeal; 2. Whether substantial consummation of the plan occurred; 3. Whether the relief sought would affect third parties not before the court; and 4. Whether the relief sought would entirely unravel the plan. The Ninth Circuit held that, although substantial consummation is a factor that weighs in favor of equitable mootness, the law requires that the court still examine the third and fourth prongs of the equitable mootness test. In reversing the district court's dismissal of an appeal and remanding to the district court for disposition of the merits, the Ninth Circuit held that review of the creditor's appeal would not unfairly affect third parties or completely unwind the plan. Specifically, regarding the issue of third-party rights, the court determined that the third party at hand was not the type of innocent party that was meant to be protected. Rather, the third party was a sophisticated investor that funded the plan and was vocal and active throughout the bankruptcy case and should have known that appellate review was possible. Finally, reasoned the majority, the bankruptcy court could devise equitable relief without entirely unraveling the plan. Even the opportunity for partial relief would render the appeal not moot. In a dissenting opinion, Judge Milan D. Smith, Jr. argued that the court's ruling was grossly inequitable to the third-party plan sponsor. According to Judge Smith, the majority's decision will deter future investment in reorganizing debtors, thereby diminishing the value of bankruptcy estates, disadvantaging creditors, and hindering reorganization efforts. Judge Smith instead maintained that considerable weight should be rendered to substantial consummation of a plan and further advocated that the court place greater weight on promoting finality in the bankruptcy process. More recently, on April 8, 2016, the Ninth Circuit issued its opinion in First Southern NTL Bank v. Sunnyslope Housing Limited Partnership, in the matter of Sunnyslope Housing Limited Partnership, number 12-17241. 9th Circle 2016, which further extended its holding in Transwest, reversing the district court's judgment affirming the bankruptcy court's confirmation of a Chapter 11 plan. The Ninth Circuit held that the creditor's appeal was not equitably moot despite the fact that funding for the reorganization plan had been furnished by an equity investment from a third-party investor, and the plan had been substantially consummated. The court concluded that the plan was based on an improper valuation of a creditor's secured interest in real property and that the debtor had improperly been permitted to exercise the cram-down provisions of Section 506A of the Bankruptcy Code and retained the property at issue in exchange for a new payment plan that P.E.